Hello, PHCC. Welcome to Season 1, Episode 11 of PHCC Rocks, a podcast highlighting some of the great things happening all over America related to PHCC, a national association. I'm your host, Joel Long, and we're coming from the worldwide headquarters of PHCC National, Gastonia, North Carolina. Right, Joe? He's not responding to that. He's going to let me keep talking. But we are thrilled today to have a little bit different focus than we've had. You know, most of our podcasts have been focused on one of our state associations or maybe something else going on in the association that's more directly related to a state or a local association. But today we're going to be talking about something that is happening all across the country, and it's in different stages. And, you know, one of the big benefits or values of PHCC National is that legislative affairs, one of the big values we provide at National is legislative affairs. And, you know, there's a guy, Mark Valentini, that heads up our legislative work, and Chuck White on the regulatory side. And then we got a great guy, Mike Dolan, who's in charge of that committee. And, you know, often those guys are out front, and it's a big, big, huge national product. But we also do incredible work state by state, and I think a lot of times that goes unheralded. And really, it's one of those things that I don't think we talk about enough as a value. But we're going to get into that today, and we're very lucky today to have two just incredible dedicated contractors from different parts of the country. Joe Cornett out of the great state of New York, Long Island, and Joe's only problem is he has a better accent than I do. And then Todd Allred from the state of Washington. And we're going to talk about what's going on across the country with this push on decarbonization and, you know, what's translating into gas bans in our industry. And so listen, guys, welcome aboard today to PHCC Rocks. It's great to have you. And it's just a pleasure.
Thank you.
And Todd, you're awake now, man. We're doing this pretty early in the morning for you. So we appreciate you joining us so early. Guys, give us one thing I do want to do. Give us, if you could, each just a couple minutes about you and your involvement in PHCC, and, you know, maybe how you got into PHCC. I think that's a good thing to start with. So, Todd, could you go first on that?
Yeah, sure. I joined PHCC, I'm going to say, about 8 years ago or so. After I got involved, I began to, take a look at the association here in our state, and I realized that we needed to be changing some of the laws that govern our industry, et cetera, et cetera. So I approached the executive committee and I said, hey, I'd like to create a government relations committee /PAC, political action committee. They gave me the green light. We created that. And then over a period, so I chair that committee still, both committees, the political action committee and the government affairs committee. And we ended up, it took us about 5 years to absolutely, you know, rewrite the laws that govern our industry in the state of Washington. We did that through a process of meeting with other stakeholders, finding out where we had common ground, and then building something around that so that it benefited the contractor, the plumber, and the consumers. And we did that. And then now I sat on the executive committee for a number of years as well. I'm now just on the board of directors. And we just created a new position out here in the state of Washington called Director of Industry that they hired me for, and that is so I'm responsible for advocacy and recruiting for the next year under that title.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, thanks for that. You're busy. My goodness.
I am busy. Yeah,
yeah, sure. Joe?
Yeah, I joined the PHCC in 2010. I did it not knowing anything about the association. I did it as an invite from a friend of mine. And I was very quickly attached to the knowledge that the other members had. And when I say that, I'm third generation, but in 2010, my dad and my uncle were still running the business. And I knew everything there was, at least I thought I did, but I knew a lot about how to run a plumbing job. I didn't know anything about how to run a plumbing business. And I just sat at those meetings and I listened to those gentlemen and I listened to how they run their business and how they do their affairs and their events. And I learned more from those gentlemen on how to run my business than I did from my dad and my uncle. And I'm not ashamed to say that, but, you know, my dad and my uncle, I love them to death. They're great businessmen, but they weren't true businessmen in that sense. And then over the years, I got more and more involved. I became Long Island chapter secretary, eventually became Long Island chapter president for two runs. And I followed the great Hunter Botto a couple of years back on his national trek. He decided to run for national office. I became his national secretary. And that's when it really started to kick in. I started to get a real feel for what goes on nationally and see what they do to support us. And I've got notes here thanking so many of them for this recent event, what we're going through. But PHGC National is more than I ever imagined. And I followed Hunter's footsteps. I ran last year, and I am now national vice president. And my job eventually will be to clean up Joel's mess. I'll need a big shovel for that.
You and Dave Frame, I am so sorry. And y'all, for anybody that doesn't know, I apologize to Joe and Dave Frame about twice a week. But with what? But yeah, Joe. So anybody watching this, these are two guys. If you're listening, these are two guys that talk about getting involved to at first learn something and all that, but then all of a sudden they're giving back a lot more than they're you know, getting out. And so that's the story, I think, of PHGC a lot of times, is somebody slowly gets involved. And Joe, your story about running a business, yeah, I'm a civil engineering and construction graduate from NC State. And man, when I got out, I thought it was a great collision. I thought I knew everything and I knew nothing. And then you got to figure out how to survive. I mean, it's really interesting, yeah. You know? So I think it's the same kind of story. So guys, I appreciate that background. I think it helps us get started for people to understand the depth of how you're involved. Okay. I really think that's important. And so that leads us to, you know, this conversation today is really becoming impactful on decarbonization and gas bans, because it's coming. I think the story that really struck me is how we're all across the country now hearing of stories in like in North Carolina, we think it's a long way off. We think this is not even a possibility. We think that but it's really one election away, or it's one issue away. And so this gas ban movement we're going to talk about today is really going to, I think it's going to resonate all across the country, because even if you think there's no chance, you better be paying attention. And so, Joe, if we could, I know in New York, you're in the middle, I would say, I guess that's a great way to say it, middle of this conversation, battle, effort, partnership to try to figure out what's next on how to fight this movement. And so if you could just give us some background where you're at and, you know, talk about what's happening, yeah, and give us some maybe of the history of it, and just, you know, I'm going to be quiet and let you talk, and then we'll go from there.
Well, I'll kick it off. You know, this anti-gas ban movement started on the West Coast, and Todd will be the one when he speaks to show us how he kicked it across the country. But here in New York, it really started to heat up about 3 years ago. There was a proposed natural gas pipeline, and the pipeline was to bring natural gas from New Jersey to Long Island, and the National Grid told us they needed more gas. No reason to argue with that. They're the ones in charge. And we watched very quietly as the governor, then Governor Cuomo, wouldn't allow the pipeline. And the hypocrisy of it is they wouldn't allow the pipeline. There's still not enough natural gas to support the region. And they bring it in with a truck. Every day there's trucks crossing the two rivers to bring natural gas here to Long Island. So it started then. We still didn't realize how serious it was until about a year ago. And that's when we discovered that there was a Senate bill and an Assembly bill, both posted within the state. And okay, so there's a bill. We get our caucuses together. We discuss it. We argue it. We go to our rallies. We go to our information centers. What really hit home about 2-3 months ago is our governor buried the bill in the budget. And New York State's budget is coming up for a vote March 31st. So we are turning the final turn here. We've got a hell of a battle, and they call it March Madness here in New York. We've got a hell of a battle to first get it removed from the bill, from the budget, and then, of course, to continue to deliberate this going forward. But I want to thank my companion from the West Coast, Todd, for kicking it off and bringing it this way, my friend.
Yeah, hey, man, I'm doing my part, okay?
Yeah. Joe, you know, one of the things I think that I think gets lost sometimes is why would you be against gas ban? What does that mean to people day to day? What do you think it means?
Well, it's not that we're let's state the facts here. We are all, by trade and by nature, we support the environment. Everything we do, back to the old poster where the plumber protects the health and welfare of the nation.
Yeah.
I've been tearing out old, inefficient, dirty boilers since I'm 12 years old. And every time I tear one of those old, filthy, inefficient boilers out, we put in a clean, efficient boiler to replace it. So we're not polluting the earth to that extent. And natural gas is considered a very clean fuel. The biggest opposition we have to it is consumer choice.
Yeah.
As soon as this bill gets signed, you build a house next year, and now you lose every opportunity to choose the fuel that you want to do to heat your home, cook your dinner, dry your clothes, heat your pool. It's all gone. There's no choice left. So that's our biggest concern, is consumer choice and the fact that we're being demonized as anti-environment.
Well, and I think we've seen in our history of contractors, and when customers have choices, they put themselves in a better position to make the best choice for them, but it also leads to more competition, leads to better situations for customers. We just, in general, that's just a thing that we see every day across the board in our industry, right?
Absolutely.
Yeah. Okay. Todd? Since you started this mess, it's not, according to Joe, you started this mess.
In Berkeley, California.
give us a little bit different view from your standing, where you are now compared to what Joe's into.
Well, yeah, sure. Thank you for the opportunity to do that. And Joe, I did not send it your way, at least not intentionally. This effort did start in California, and our Governor Inslee in the state of Washington has had a climate control agenda for as long as he's been in office. And last year during legislative session, our legislative session is in from last year was January, February, and March into early April. And during that time, they introduced a bill to cut down. It would eliminate natural gas in the state of Washington. It was short-sighted. We went, all of us stakeholders, we fought it. A lot of people fought it. One of the things that they did was they agreed to go ahead and table the bill. And then they agreed to have a Utilities and Transportation Commission study completed to understand if the grid, the electrical grid, could handle the additional load if we did eliminate natural gas in the state of Washington. That study has not been released yet. We haven't seen the results of it. And that's important. And I'll get back to that in a second. So then this last September, our state building code council had appointees appointed to it by the governor. And my understanding is, and I might be, I might be wrong about a couple of small details here, but my understanding is that there's a couple of like the Building Industry Association of Washington and the Associated General Contractors are supposed to submit names to the governor, three names. The governor is then required to choose one of those names and appoint them to the State Building Code Council. Our understanding is that the governor has stepped outside of that and appointed a climate activist to the State Building Code Council. And I believe he chairs the council. So they had a tag, they did a technical advisory group, and the results came back that, we should eliminate natural gas in the state of Washington. So they had a resolution that was an 8-8 vote. The chairman got to make the final vote, making a 9-8 vote. That bill went to Olympia, our capital, in legislature this year, which was January, February, and just ended earlier in this month. They broke that original bill from last year. They broke it into four separate bills for this year. And one of those bills was the resolution that came out of the State Building Code Council. So they created this bill. They went down there. Anyway, it went through the legislative process. It passed out of the House. It went to the Senate. They bypassed Ways and Means because they lowered the fiscal note on it, meaning, if the cost to the taxpayer is below a certain level, they don't have to go through Ways and Means. So they, you know, which is kind of a misnomer because the cost would be absolutely incredible.
Devastating. Yeah.
Yeah. So then we were able to rally the troops. We got the UA. So the Washington State Association of Plumbing and Pipe Fitters, that's the union in the state of Washington. We all rallied and we being open shop, mostly open shop in our state, we lobbied the Republicans, and they lobbied the union lobbied the Democrats. We also lobbied the Democrats too, and we had a strong message going in. We met with a lot of them. We ended up leveraging enough that we were able to have the caucus, the Democrat Senate caucus, was short 3 votes to bring it to the floor to pass the natural gas ban in the state of Washington. So for now, we have a victory in stopping it. It did not come to the floor and session ended. However, the day after session ended, State Building Code Council had another hearing on the next day, and they had 2 days worth of testimony. We submitted written testimony, we submitted oral testimony, and I'll tell you that the climate activists are in there making testimony, trying to sway the Building Code Council. They're starting over. They are not going to stop. This will be in if it passes out of committee again, the State Building Code Council, it'll be back in the legislature next year. So this isn't a battle we have won yet. Actually, I should say it's a war we haven't won yet. We won a battle.
Yeah, you won the skirmish. You won the skirmish
yeah.
in about
yeah. yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So wow. So the I think we lose sight of that a lot of times, that we think, I mean, it's really good to hear, Todd, that you guys are looking at it, that the war is not over. And I think that's a really good story from a national level, with the importance of PHCC being partners at the national level and the state level to build a structure where we can help each other. And to me, that's what this is about today, is how we share this kind of thought process on how you're attacking it, how you're partnering. You know, there's a couple things I heard you talk about, Todd. First one, I guess, is elections matter. We tend to, I think we have such a blessing in this country. I know I do a lot. I take for granted that things are going to stay the way they are in a good way, you know. And so then we get set in our ways that we're busy, man, you know, and we're busy. All of us are busy. So then we're not as active. We don't, the word you said was climate activist. Well, we're not pro-business activist enough, maybe. You know, we're not focused that way. We don't call ourselves pro-business activist or maybe family activist or whatever you want to say it, or business advocates as activists as much as we need to be. And I heard that. And then I heard the other story that you just touched on was the collaboration, right? You mentioned that, you know, there's a lot of open shops, and then y'all went to the Republic, but I bet a key was the united front with the union contractors and the open shops. Was that hard, or was it pretty easy?
Well, man, I'm glad you asked that question. The relationship with the UA in our state started when we passed that law that I mentioned in my intro. When we went to rewrite the RCWs, the Revised Code of Washington, govern our industry, it was a collaborative effort with those guys. So it took us 2 years to write that, and we developed relationships. One of the problems in our state is that we have a one-party rule. The Democrats control the House, the Senate, and the governor. Okay, so that is not representative government for the citizens of the state of Washington. So as a result of that, they've moved further to the left with their ideologies and their agenda. And they have literally, in the state of Washington, absolutely pushed the UA over to the Republican side. They're supporting the Republicans now. In fact, it was said to me that the Washington State Association, the UA, did not give any money this year to House Democrats, period. And in fact, that they had been invited to a Republican fundraiser about 6 weeks ago, in which the executive secretary director in the state told me they were going with an open checkbook. So the sheer leftist approach and agenda of these people that have been or that are in office and trying to enact policy have pushed away some of their constituency to the other side. So they helped us develop that relationship and get this going. You know, one of the things that we are focusing on coming up in this next election cycle is we want to restore representative government. I don't care if we flip the House. I don't care if we flip the Senate. It doesn't matter, either one. And we're going to be involved in that process along with the UA. I'll tell you that probably next month, we are going to be sitting down with the UA and some of the political leadership in our state on the Republican side in the House to collaborate and strategize how we can restore representative government. There's a lot of other efforts in our state that we're close to, that I'm close to with a lot of my efforts. And this is just going to help PHCC get more exposure in the market, in the to the consumers out there, really. But the goal, again, is to restore representative government. Because if we don't restore representative government, then everybody, you know, some people are getting something, other people are getting nothing. Yeah. If we can restore representative government, then everybody's getting something and nobody's getting nothing. So that's kind of our focus. And we're, you know, one of the ways that we're going to do that is, or we've been doing is we've created a political action committee about 5 years ago, where we collect money from our members, our associate members, contractor members. Some of them are on recurring donations. So we're continuing to build that budget. And we want to, you know, I'll even go out on a limb here and say that we plan to, I'm currently developing a presentation to reach out to the corporate manufacturers, the gas appliance manufacturers, because we're on the front lines of this, Joel. We're on the front lines of this fight. And we got to have some money in this pack so that we can go down and have an effect to restore representative government in our state. So we are going to be hitting up manufacturers for monies because, again, it's important. It's important because, you know, the consumer has to have a choice. Like we've also been talking about redundancy. You know, you asked Joe a few minutes ago about energy choice. Well, how about redundancy?
Yeah.
You know, if the electrical grid goes down because you have a big storm, you know what? If you have a natural gas atmospheric fired water heater, you can still have some warm water.
Yeah, that's
right. Getting a hot shower. You know, so there's some benefits to redundancy. And I think these folks are missing out on that. You know, plus the other thing, one of the main messages that I gave to these senators, these Democrat senators, when we were lobbying to stop this effort in our state was like, it doesn't make sense to remove an energy source when we have this world chaos going on.
Yeah,
we have world chaos. We don't know where we're going right now. And these people want to remove an energy source in the name of climate carbon decarbonization. It's like, you know, I get it. We want to decarbonize. We all care about our environment. None of us wants to drink bad water. None of us wants to breathe bad air. We get all of that. But there's a process that you can go through that's probably better. And that's give people choice and then make that process slow. We don't have to bite off a chunk that ends up hurting us. And here's another thing that's kind of interesting. In the state of Washington, I think our carbon emissions from natural gas burning appliances is less than 1% of the carbon emissions in our state. But yet they're gonna add $20,000 to the cost of building a home to yeah. provide raceways for electricity to get to the roof for solar and all this kind of stuff. And we're already in a housing crunch over here. There is not enough housing. There's a ton of homeless people. You guys have seen it on the news, how bad Seattle is. And the cost for buying a house, I've got guys that make six figures and can't purchase a house yeah. because the costs are so high.
Well, you know, Todd, I think that a lot of times the unintended consequences, you know, I think that's one of the main important pieces I've seen nationally and then at the state levels for us to continue to talk to our legislators is because they don't know. They don't have anybody telling them the alternative side of the repercussions of what they're doing. And I think that's our job. I think you're right. It's beyond the I think we do need to take on the understanding that, you know, it's beyond just these kind of issues that we're faced with now, that we need to tell the story because we're on the front lines. And I think you're exactly right. And Joe, I know listening to all this stuff from Todd, okay, what do you think after listening to all this are your next steps that, you know, maybe both of you, but I know Joe that you're into. What does this sound like to you? Are you quitting?
I'm going to stay in South Carolina.
Oh, okay. There you go.
You know, listening to Todd, and I am so appreciative of everything he says, and thank God for the PHCC so that I can meet somebody like Todd.
Yeah.
And he's been through the battle, and he's like my companion now in this effort here. If he had to climb a mountain to get proper representation in Washington, here in New York, we've got Mount Everest. We've got 63 state senators, 43 of them are Democrat. We've got 150 assembly, I think 106 are Democrat. We've got two Senate representatives in Congress, 27, 19 to 8 in congressional, Democratic. I can go on and on. Yeah. For us to get proper representation is a tremendous, tremendous uphill battle. But that's obviously what we're doing. And when Todd mentioned to me a couple of weeks ago how the UA started to support the initiatives with their checkbooks, I made a phone call to a high school friend of mine who is a huge, huge banker. And he was unaware of the situation. But since then, he's probably called me 75 times. And I got an email from him just this Friday that said the New York State Banking Association is monitoring the situation very closely.
Oh.
Their concern, and it makes sense, when you take away a fuel and you make it harder for people to build buildings and projects, if building slows down, guess what slows down? The borrowing from the banks.
That's right.
So that was, I stumbled on that one.
Yeah.
So, and he called me again last night. He's going to a fundraiser tonight with a bunch of, you know, a bunch of people that have their hands out, and the bank has the checkbooks, and they're going to, this is a top topic for tonight's dinner.
Oh, that's beautiful.
Back on Long Island. So, you know, when we get a little further into this, I have my battle plan, and I stumbled on that one, but I'm thrilled that I did. Because again, we are working very closely, Todd, with the UA here. My state senator, Senator Mario Matera, is a union plumber, and he's in the state Senate. And he represents, he's the business agent for them. And we've been side by side in this battle now for several months. And he is well aware of the political money that's available. That's why for our Friday rally, which I'll mention again later, he's bringing some of the heavy hitters from the union to this public rally that we're having. And we're hoping that they're beginning to see that they're not going to get the support if they continue to take work and business away from us. So, yeah, it's a tremendous battle here, tremendous.
So,
you know,
go ahead.
Can I just interrupt, Joe?
Yeah, sure.
Joe, that's awesome. You just blew my mind because you just helped me realize that we have the extrapolation out of the consequences of these choices that these politicians are making is not just energy choice. It's banking. It's every industry. And, you know, yes. In the state of Washington, every time I mention to somebody, hey, we're fighting the natural gas ban. What do you mean?
Exactly.
Like nobody knows about it. It's not. And we have a method. We have a method out here to get the message out, but it's not effective enough.
Yeah. Well, and I think maybe it's, you know, we use some of this social media that we're seeing, you know, Facebook. If you start saying that on Facebook and your friends see that, either in banking or other industries, they're going to go, what? And you know, the other, we got the I word right now, this inflation. You know, you talk about inflation. My God, let us eliminate choice on fuel choices and see what that does to help us with inflation in the wrong direction. I mean, that'll just kill us in certain parts of the country going forward. And projects will go away. I really do believe that. So, Joe, you said you had a battle plan?
Well, we're developing a battle plan because we're hoping that we're successful. And then when this rolls into the great state of North Carolina, you could pick up a call and contact us. But, you know, the first thing I got to tell you, Joel, and I'm on the national staff, I'm on the executive committee. National couldn't have been more supportive to our efforts.
Okay, good.
From the moment I contacted Mark Ingrao till even speaking to him the other day, everything we've asked for, we've gotten. Yeah. We had Mark Valentini and Chuck White fly out to Long Island, March 2nd, I believe it was. We had an assembly. We didn't want to call it a rally. And we had over 110 plumbers in the room. And we laid out a agenda that was to inform. And these contractors, like Todd mentioned, their eyes opened up. They had no idea what was going on. And that rally or that assembly, it caught the attention of a congressman on Long Island. And he called me. He's got my phone number. And he said, "What's going on?" I says, "You should be here." And he showed up and he spoke and he supported us to a certain extent. And we kind of sensed a little bit, but he supported us. And we had other political allies. So when I say that the battle plan, first thing is to contact National and let them get the Mark and Chuck show out there. And yeah. They brought in our zone director, Don Powers, and Mark Valentini drove from Washington, D.C. to Albany, spoke in the State House at 1 o'clock in the afternoon, drove back to Long Island, and was part of our assembly at 6 o'clock that night.
Oh, wow.
And if that wasn't enough, he's driving up again Friday morning to speak at the public rally. So he's been helping us with printings, notifications, letters, Facebook editions, advertising. Everything we've asked for from National has been given to us and then some. Some of my battle plans, obviously, is as Todd mentioned, you got to contact your political allies. That's huge. You got to find out who supports this effort, who doesn't, and just start working with them. You got to develop an easy way for members and for the public to vote. We've had the things that you hit your phone there with. The scan, where you scan them with your phone.
QR codes.
The barcodes, thank you. We had barcodes on every table at our assembly. And people could just hit the barcode and immediately put in their name, their address, their zip code, and a letter went to their state legislator opposition. So again, Mark Valentini helped us with that. I set up a laptop in my shop one morning and I asked every one of my employees, didn't force them, but I explained the situation. I says, if you would like to register your opposition, there's the laptop, then we're going to get our day started. Every one of them logged in and supported this cause. We're having a public rally this Friday morning in front of a construction site. So when you say how this is going to affect future business, Joel, we chose a construction site to have our public rally.
Oh, yeah.
And we've got hundreds of hopefully plumbers and contractors, and we're all going to be there and catch the news and try and get more work out. And we're also developing a Facebook blitz. We realized every little neighborhood, every little village has their moms and dads of Homeland USA. And again, with Mark Valentini and with our PHGC office, we are putting the finishing touches on a Facebook blitz to, again, alert people, let them know what's going on. And then if they want to voice their opposition, there's the barcode. Click on it and let it go through. We know we're going to get kickback. We know we're going to get called names. We know we're going to get feedback.
You don't care about the environment.
Sure. We can't care anymore. Yeah. We can't care anymore.
We have to go fight the battle. I agree.
It's not to the point where we want to hurt feelings anymore. And I love Todd's idea about a PAC fund. I think it's phenomenal. I'm a huge advocate.
That real quick, if I could interrupt, is we're really bad in our state, and I've seen in other states, that we wait until there's a battle, and then we try to ramp it up instead of what I heard Todd say is 5 or 6 years ago, and now you're in a better position you've built it along the way instead of an emergency. You know, and I think that's a key that we miss, Joe, you know.
Yeah, well, you have to start watching this thing as it starts to fester.
Yeah.
And Todd's point about how they appointed the climate action personnel to certain key boards, there's your red flag, my friend.
Yeah, yeah. You got to look for those red flags. That's right.
Look for those red flags. Absolutely. Yeah.
So I wondered, media campaigns, have y'all tried to get like on TV? Have you guys tried to? You know, have you gone? Because I don't think anybody knows. I don't think if the media knew that, you know, the lower and middle class is going to be the one paying the bill, because that's who's going to pay the bill. I mean, in a couple years.
Let Todd go first.
No, we haven't tried to get on TV. I haven't even considered that.
We all have faces for radio, don't we, Tom?
I think that's something worth considering, because, you know, ultimately the idea is to get the message out to the consumer. If you get the message out to the consumer,
that's right.
Then it doesn't matter what your politicians are doing. The consumer will speak.
That's right.
And so I think, you know, the message, the mention of social media, you know, LinkedIn, getting on these places where you're going to find business people and educate them about this. That's something I want to move forward with, probably at a much larger degree.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. No, we've been quietly contacting friendly news organizations, if you will. But with this rally here on Friday, we're going all out. We're contacting every news organization that we know of, friend or foe, because we just need attention drawn to it.
Sure.
And we're getting a feeling that the foe will not cover the event at all. Yeah. That's their way of burying it. So we'll find out this weekend, you know, what their events are. But I've personally contacted numerous radio hosts that have political talk shows. And if they're busy or they're not involved or not interested, I say, can you at least make a statement? You know, I don't just leave it as thank you. You invited us and I can't make it. And I've even done that with a political foe or friend, mostly the friend. If you can't make our event, would you please come out and make a statement on our behalf?
Yeah.
So I don't just say thank you and walk away. I try to get something out of that contact. But yeah, press is going to be our friend, but I expect it to be buried in many of the news outlets, the event. I just see that happening. So we do what we can.
Yeah. So, you know, we've spent a good bit of time kind of giving a snapshot. Is there anything, Todd, that you think we've missed talking about from your perspective with what went on in Washington?
I don't know if there's anything we missed, but as a result of this conversation, I would encourage everyone to not just develop a PAC political action committee and get funds into it to help influence the politics, you know, because if you're not at the table, you're on the menu.
That's it.
And every state that has a state chapter in our nation should have a PAC committee. And then, in addition to that, you should have a contracted lobbyist, somebody that's watching the politics in your state. We contracted a lobbyist 5 or 6 years ago. So I work in lockstep with them. We lock arms and walk forward together. I have strengths, they have strengths. We're amplifying those together to get the message out and have an effect in Olympia. If you have one of the things that the lobbyists, one of the value that they bring is that they are watching. They have these software programs that watch for keywords in legislation that gets introduced, et cetera, and you choose and you get all those things set up. And if anything comes across the table that you might not be watching for, it'll notify, and then you can then begin to maneuver for how maybe you're for it, maybe you're against it, so that you can have an effect. One of the things that we've noticed with the state of Washington, and it's something that I will continue to work on over the next year and into the future, but mostly this year, is that, you know, a lot of the legislators down there now know, oh, the plumbers are calling. Oh, they want to meet with us. The plumbers are here. That's how they refer to us. So sure. The fact that we're involved. So it's all about relationships. You're building relationships with lawmakers.
You're getting ready. I'm sorry, I interrupted you. You don't want the first piece of the relationship to be when there's a fight.
Right.
Yes.
You want to build the relationship of trust so that later they're calling you like you're talking about, so that it's not the first, hey, I'm Joel Long from North Carolina and I'm mad about something. That's not the way you start that conversation.
Right. Yeah. Right. If you've been developing the trust through a process of developing a relationship, you will become the subject matter expert for that lawmaker in the arena of plumbing and
air conditioning and air conditioning. Say it. Come on, man.
Air conditioning, HVAC, you bet. Absolutely. And the thing is that, you know, if they trust you, they're going to call you.
Yeah.
I have some of that going on already. And, you know, that gives us leverage in the process.
You know,
so that when we do have that fire come up,
yeah.
it doesn't take as much energy to put that fire out.
That's right. And then also, you know, you've done such good work. You can tell developing your system out there on the legislative side. But a lot of states, I worry, think that it's too big of something. It's a too big of a thing to tackle. For instance, how you're monitoring bills. But, you know, national can help with that, too. You know, if you don't have it already set up, you know, other states, you know, you can – national can help you monitor those bills going on. So we have systems that, you know, Mark Valentini and Chuck, and I like to get them in trouble. But then, you know, we can help with that. You know, there's ways we can do that to help you state by state. But you're right on developing those relationships. And I guess, too, it sounds like you've had a plan. You've been working a plan so when these things come up, you can try to go tackle them.
Yeah, we have been. You know, I'll go back to having a lobbyist on, you know, contracted lobbyist. The thing is the lobbyist is the go-between between an association. He's the liaison between the association and the lawmaker. He's got relationships with those lawmakers that are way deeper and way more meaningful than the relationships that I have with them as an association representative. So it makes it all the easier to have those conversations when your lobbyist contacts the lawmaker and says, hey, my constituent, my client would like to meet with you around this issue. They're more willing to meet because it's been a relationship that the lobbyist has already established. So there's really, you know, I would occur and I'm going to go out on a limb here. You might want to edit this out. I don't know. But, you know, I think that upon reflection, after a conversation I had with Joe a couple of weeks ago, upon reflection, you know, it may be that advocacy in the political process may be the greatest value that PHCC can bring to its members.
Yeah, I think it's one of those, you know, Todd, I agree. And, you know, I've gone to Washington, I think, 12 or 13 years and, you know, it's kind of this thing, we just think we believe in the process, we believe in our government and that it's going to be okay. You know, it's kind of, I think we can't get out of bed in the morning if we don't think the day is going to be a good day with what we do, right? But the reality is, you're right, if we don't stay involved and drive it and become activists for our business, that may be the way to do it. And then PHCC is doing all this, but we don't put it at the top as much as we should. I agree with you, Joe.
I call Valentini on Sundays.
Okay. Oh my God.
I'm driven. I think, you know, we're all business people and we're all running a business. And sometimes we are our own worst enemies because we're so wrapped up in our business. And we just, like Joel says, we take it for granted that government is doing the right thing. Yeah. And they're not. Unchecked, they will continue to do things that may impact our businesses or our lives forever. And it's huge. So,
well, you know, and I had somebody years ago, you know, I thought we were having an argument about something, and I don't remember now what it was. And she corrected me. She said, whoa, 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 it's our government. Whether we don't like some things going on or not, we better understand that it is our government 100% locally, yeah, at the state level and national. And I think that's how our association is the same way. We better understand that the good and the bad and the ugly and the success and the failures of our association is the same way. And you know, guys, this year, you know, one of the main messages I wanted to get on was positive leadership. You know, and we've been talking about it a lot in these podcasts. But see, you guys are showing what individuals can do, what a group of people can do. The positive leadership thing that I always see is a small group of people are the ones that always change something in the right direction. And that's what you guys are trying to do. That's how I see it. You know, those are the only thing. There's really the only thing that ever has changed the country or the world is one or two dedicated people. And that's what you guys are trying to do. So that's what I'm hearing. What advice, knowing where you are, What advice would you give? Is there any other advice? I mean, everything you've done has been advice today for other people. But what would you say is some other advice, or is there anything else? Y'all have covered a ton.
I would add.
Go ahead, Todd.
Thank you, Joe. I would add that, you know, maybe whoever's listening, maybe their state doesn't have any of this set up, doesn't have a government affairs committee, doesn't have a political action committee, has no effort to be at the table instead of being on the menu, my advice would be to, like, you know, start putting one foot in front of the other. you'll never get to your destination unless you start putting one foot in front of the other. Yeah. And don't look back, because if you're looking back, you can't see where you're going.
Yeah, do one new thing this month. Set up a visit to your capital with your state group and go to the capital. Yeah. If you got four people, it doesn't matter, but do that. I think that I've seen that. We've talked about that here, and we just don't do it. We need to go do that. I think that would be a great, you know, something specific. Yeah. Joe, what do you got?
That's early intervention is what that is. It's just getting out in front of it. You know, you hate to make everything political, but that's reality.
Yeah.
Mark Valentini had a slide that he put on with the rally, and it was so and he put it on as the second slide. It was a slide of this great country, and it showed the states that have already adopted a fuel choice bill. And that's the only way to eventually head this off forever, is to adopt a fuel choice bill. And to date, there were 20 or 22 states that have already adopted the fuel choice bill. And where were they? The center of the country.
Oh, yeah. Smart.
And he flipped the map and he says, oh, by the way, this is now the map of the 2020 election results. And the same red states went back and forth. And those are the states that have adopted a fuel choice bill, and the others did. All blue on the coast. So it's eye-opening how politically charged this effort is. Yeah. And look, I've got Senate district maps here. My wife calls me Aaron Brockovich. Because I'm one man running a cause here, but I'm waiting for that one email that I could stumble across to break the whole industry. So, and I almost had it. I had an inside scoop on how the electric utility of Long Island is 5 years behind in their development for solar and wind power. And I can't get my hands on the email,
yeah.
Okay? But I was given to it. I was read it verbally. So that's my Aaron Brockovich email. If I can get that, we can knock this out of the ballpark.
You know, I love that movie, but Joe, I do not see you. I do not see you as Aaron. I'm sorry, man. I just don't see it, man. I mean, I can't see it, man. No, I've seen you in. Anyway, I'm not even going to go there, man. So listen, guys. You know, listen. I love you first for, and I think all of our members hopefully appreciate the dedication and just love what you're trying to do and the messaging of how we can, you know, one or two of us can make a big difference with partnerships and collaboration and staying focused. And I think that's just the huge message coming out of this. And it's all across the country. I think this, you know, Joe and Todd, both of you, I think first just thank you for the dedication for our industry and our businesses and our families. I think this is, Todd, to your point earlier, this is a lot bigger than the gas ban. This is about, you know, this is really, I think we this is about our futures, you know, as business people and as you know, people of family businesses, but also the country. We've got to take bigger stands and better stands and be more direct. And, you know, Joe and I you know, I've kind of developed this thought process recently. You know, it's easy. You and I pick on each other and Dave Frame and, you know, Hunter about how different, you know, it's easy, you know, to talk about sometimes, and we laugh about our differences, but listening to you guys talk about the UA and the open shops and partnering, you know, there's really so much more we have in common. And I think the things we have in common are on the important things. The thing we agree about, family and running a good business and being respectful and protecting the health of the nation, it doesn't have anything to do with UA or open shop or anything else. The things that we have in common are more important than what separates us and differences, except this whole Yankee Southern thing. But anyway, I just, you know, and so I think that's the big lesson too coming out of this is let's go find out what we're going to do to win together all across the country and help each other. So guys, I appreciate it. Anything else to add? I think we're into this thing about an hour. I have 50 minutes already.
Wow.
Yeah, that's hard to believe.
I love my brother from another mother on the West Coast, and we are collaborating weekly and daily, so it's awesome to have this kind of connection through mm-hmm. the PHCC. It's invaluable, yeah. That kind of connection.
It is. It's amazing. It's helped me so much, man. Todd, you got anything?
Yeah, I also want to – first of all, I want to thank you, President Long, for having this podcast and giving us the opportunity to get our message out here. And, Joe, I'm on your side, man. You got my support.
Thank you.
Appreciate you. I just pray that you keep your spirits up and praying for you, brother.
Yeah. You know, I tell you,
Appreciate it. Thank you. Piggybacking
on that, I, one of the things I've seen with everybody is I give a book recommendation every time, and I try to tie it to what we're talking about. And I had somebody last year give me a daily journal, a daily devotional book. It's called Radical Wisdom. And it's by Reggie Campbell, and it's Radical Wisdom and a Daily Journey for Men. And I've noticed that when I read this, it helps me stay focused on positive and just improving myself just a little bit every day. And it goes right in touch with what we're talking about today, that you got to have the faith every day in what you're doing and stay in the course. And so I wanted to thank both of you gentlemen for everything you're doing, but for getting out here and leading like you're doing. It's such a inspiring thing for everybody that's going to watch this. And then I know you're both available via email and all that stuff. And anybody that has any questions about their state, you're willing to just do anything you can to help. So any closing words from you guys, last things? Nope.
Well, one quickie. When the Seattle Mariners beat the Yankees in the 1995.
Here we go.
No, that's it. Thank you all. Joel, President Joel, thank you so much for the opportunity. I really do.
Well,
yeah, thank you. Thank you very much.
And Todd, we're all jealous of the beard, man. Joe and I can't do that. I don't, you know, but yeah, if I grew a mustache and shaved, nobody would know the difference, man. But anyway, but guys, listen, love you. And thank you so much for all the time and the focus and for bettering the country and your state associations, your local, and making us all better. And we appreciate it, guys. It's been a great episode today. Please, guys, if you're out there, send us ideas on other podcasts that may be related, or if there's other things you're going to do. And please, you can contact us at podcast@phccrocks.com. And thanks again to Joe Cornetta from New York and our incoming president in a couple of years. We're really excited about that. And he's going to do an incredible job. And Todd Allred from this great state of Washington. We look forward to seeing you guys in the future. And PHCC Rocks is produced and brought to you by Amy Anderson and Elizabeth King from GSM Services and Charlotte Parham of PHCC National. Guys, thanks again, and we'll see you soon. And come back to hear more Reason Why. PHCC Rocks. Boys,